It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Pass time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right. Needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 97 yards.
Now, here's your host, John Schmell.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Also on Twitter, you can send in your questions and comments to hashtag GiantsChat. Happy Friday morning, everybody. The weekend's on the horizon. Can't argue with that. You can't argue with the fact when hit by a tropical storm tomorrow and half the weekend's going to be washed out. That kind of stinks. But anyway, you're not in your office, you're not at your place of business. It's always a good thing. So we're looking forward to that. Next week, of course, mandatory minicamp begins for the New York Football Giants, and you would expect that Akeem Nicks would be here working out. Victor Cruz, if he doesn't have a contract signed, I'd say that's doubtful. And at this point, do I think he's going to have a contract signed by the minicamp next week? Probably not. I think this might go a little bit longer than I originally thought back in February when we addressed this originally, and longer than Giant fans would certainly like it to go. So those things, if you're the Giants, the things you're worrying about heading into mandatory minicamp. But, you know, you're seeing some stuff out of some young guys, a lot of competition on the defensive line, on the offensive line, even in the secondary. You know, it should be a lot of fun as we head towards training camp. Remember, this is really the last time that we're going to see these players until July 26th when they get back here for training camp. Mandatory minicamp is it. Rookies are here for one more week, then the veterans are gone, and we don't see them again for a month and a half. So, going to get some more work in. This is the time to do it. And again, I'll stress, you can't take too much out of it. There's no contact. There's no pads. But you can get some learning done. You can see what some of these guys are doing in the classroom and whether or not they can take what they're doing in the classroom and convert that onto the field. 201-939-4513. Let's go to our phones to start off the show nice and early. This will be a caller-based show. Say hi to Steven in New Jersey. Steven, what's going on, pal?
How you doing?
What's up, Ben?
I'm all right.
And by the way, I should say our question on Twitter for the day, and I'm sure this is why Steven is calling, is what Giant do you think will have the most receptions this year? A question I think is kind of interesting based on the two wideouts that are holding out and on the fact that the Giants have some young guys. Brandon Myers is in here as well. So, Steven, what do you think?
Victor Cruz. We're going to re-sign him. He's going to have the most catches this year again.
How many?
To say you're going to have, like, 127 catches.
127 catches? I think that'd be an NFL record, wouldn't it?
Nah, I think this year he probably have, like probably, like, 45 catches. Probably he's going to break 1,000 and something yards receiving. Probably, like, 8 touchdowns.
All right, Steven, appreciate it, man. Thanks for the call.
All right.
Great. So 127 to 45. Okay. How about we split between those? All right, I'll give my opinion before I hit the next call. Jermaine's online. Jermaine, I'll get to you in a second. If I decide what Giant was that had the most receptions this year, you know who I think a sleeper is? Honestly, and I know you're probably going to think I'm crazy. I think Brandon Myers is a sleeper for most catches for the Giants. I think he can catch 70 balls. I think Cruz will probably catch more than that. I think Nicks, if he stays healthy, and again, that's a huge question, he'll probably catch more than that too. But if I had to guess who's going to have the most catches for the Giants this season, that's Victor Cruz. And I think he'll get somewhere between 85 and 90, I'd say. I think that's fair. 201-939-4513. We go to Jermaine. He's in North Carolina. Jermaine, what's happening?
What's going on, man?
What do you think, Jermaine?
You know, Victor Cruz, like he said, but really, Akeem Nicks, you know what I mean? That's a North Carolina man. So. What's that? Rudy Randall? What's his name?
Yeah, yeah. You know, Ruben Randle, I don't see him getting a lot of receptions, but he could be a big play guy, get a lot of yards, and score some touchdowns, too.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think so. I just don't know why they're holding out on these guys when they're going to pay them and get it over with.
Well, you know what? Remember, Hakeem Nicks is under contract, so the Giants are under no obligation to give him any more money this year. They're going to let him play out the year, see if he can stay healthy. They make a decision on him after this year. Victor Cruz is another story. Remember, he's restricted, so he can't leave and play for another team. He doesn't have any options, really. So it's going to be Victor's decision whether or not he wants to play for the one-year tender or if he wants to sign the long-term deal the Giants have on the table. He really doesn't have any other choices.
Yeah, money's crazy when it comes to this game, ain't it?
Dude, money's everything in this world. It doesn't matter if it's sports or business or anything else.
Yeah, the way they put them in the game, though, you know.
No, I hear you. Jermaine, thanks for the call, man.
Appreciate it.
Had trouble hearing Jermaine on that line a little bit. Had to let him go. 201-939-4513. Steve's down in Washington, D.C. Steve, what's up, pal?
Hey, what's happening? You stole my answer, man. I was going to say Brandon, our tight end. I think he's going to have the most receptions this year. You know, I think, Eli's going to get real comfortable with him, and hopefully he'll get a lot of balls. You know, let's see what he can do with the ball. But I'm pretty sure he'll get a lot of receptions.
Yeah, you know what? I talked to Mike Pope yesterday, the Giants tight end coach. They made the assistant coaches available to us, and I talked to a bunch of the guys about a couple of different things, and I'll talk about that as the show goes along. But I think, and he made the point that Myers has some work to do in terms of blocking, you know, still learn the offense a little bit, but he thinks he really has a good feel for coverages, a good feel for finding the open spots in the zone, and he's already figuring this offense out and creating a rhythm with Eli. So I agree with you. I think Myers is going to catch more balls than Martellus Bennett did last year. I think he could be a huge factor in the offense.
Yeah, well, if he can catch 79, Cutler, and, you know, with that offensive line out there, I would like to think he can catch, you know, close to the 90 balls, you know, from Eli. But I'm going to ask you real quick while I got your mind. What's up with this guy, Collins? I've been hearing some pretty good things about him. You know, out of camp. Have you heard anything about him?
Yeah, I've been keeping an eye on him. Brandon Collins was in training camp last year, too. He did some nice things. He's a good special teams player as well. The Giants really like what they see out of him. But again, it's an uphill battle. He's battling with a guy like Jernigan, who's a third-round pick. He's, a guy that is going to have to show that he can help the team in a lot of different ways to earn a roster spot. But the early returns on him are positive.
Cool. And was it Jeremy Horn? Do you think he's going to make our roster or what?
I think that'll be really tough. I think he's got a chance for the practice squad, but right now Collins is one of the guys that's ahead of him on that depth chart.
Cool. Well, listen, one last thing I want to say is watch out for Will Hill this year. He's going to be the man.
Hey, look, Will Hill will get a lot.
The nation is going to stand up this year.
You do, man. I'll tell you, Will Hill's going to get all the opportunities in the world. I had a chance to talk to David Merritt yesterday, and unprompted, he brought up how well Ryan Mundy's been playing and how
really?
He, right now, as far as Merritt's concerned, from what I heard, he's the third safety. He's ahead of Will Hill on the depth chart right now. So Will Hill's going to have to do a little bit of work. He likes what he sees out of Mundy, but Will Hill will have the opportunity to prove himself in training camp.
Awesome. Looking forward to it. Hey, thanks a lot, guys. I'll listen out there. Appreciate the show.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it. 201-939-4513. We're going to go to Lamesh down in Norfolk, Virginia, Navy country. What's up, Lamesh?
Hey, John. How you doing?
Doing all right, man. What's going on?
Just calling to, you know, I think the, my answer is going to be Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's not going to be like in 80s or 90s this year since we have a couple other receivers, and I'm hoping that Nick's get back. You know, he's healthy. I think he's going to be like in 60s and 70s. And Myers, and he's going to be a target too. What do you think?
Yeah, you know what? I think that's a good point because last year we saw Eli almost have to lock in on Victor Cruz because Hakeem Nicks wasn't there. And this year, you're assuming that Nicks is going to stay healthy, which I think is a fair assumption. Ruben Randle, if he takes a step up, and again, like you said, I like Brandon Myers a lot. I think you make a good point. I would not be shocked if Eli spreads it around that the Giants' leading receiver finished in the high 70s. I could see that happening.
Yeah. I got one more question in your mind. What happens, like, you know, I know mandatory minicamp starts next week, and we are hoping that Nick shows up. What happens if he doesn't? Is it time to, like, you know, worry more? You know, I know he's trying to, like, you know, he didn't show up for the OTA, but what if he doesn't show up and next week is what's going to happen.
If Akiem Nicks doesn't show up to mandatory minicamp, he will get fined by the team for each practice that he misses. Hopefully that'll motivate him to come back. And if he doesn't come back and he decides to hold out for training camp, they'll keep fining him until he does. Akiem Nicks has no options. He's under contract. He's playing for the Giants this year. He's got to show up.
Oh, okay. So we are definitely expecting him to show up.
Yep.
Even though he might not run routes or work out a whole lot, but he show up and do some drills, I guess.
Exactly.
Okay. All right, thanks, John. I'll hang up and continue listening to the show.
Hey, thanks, Lamesh. I appreciate it, man. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Shakes down in Baltimore. Shakes, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Nothing much, dude. How are you?
I'm all right. To answer the question who has the most receptions, I think that it will be Cruz. The simple fact, it's more like teams like to double Nicks more when Nicks is healthy. But then, like, I'm kind of contemplating because then they might sleep on Nicks this year and try to double Cruz. So I don't know, but my just guess is Cruz goes back to the year before last because,
right,
you know, Nicks was healthy and, you know, he can get more single coverages and he can get it that way. I wanted to ask about Bradshaw, though, having talks with Indy. If we lose Bradshaw, then who else are we going to look at for that protection that I've been saying for this whole offseason?
Well, you know what? It was funny. I was thinking about this the other day. I think one option the Giants might have, considering he's a good receiver already, considering he plays tight end, is Bear Pasco. He's a guy that, you know, plays tight end. He's going to be the fullback with Hanoski out for a while. And I wouldn't be surprised if they used him a little bit on those third down protection packages. He can catch some dump offs. You know, he's athletic enough to get some yards after the catch. I wouldn't be surprised if the Giants used Bear in that spot a little bit.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I wasn't even thinking about that. That is a good idea. You want some speed, though, with that. You know, like, you throw Wilson back there, and maybe he gets to catch a screen. He could probably break it for 80.
Yeah, you know, that's true. And Coach Ingram was talking to us yesterday, and, you know, they asked him about Bradshaw and the pass protection. He said David Wilson's made progress in pass protection. He's probably not quite there yet, but they're working with him more and more, and they think he's getting closer. And if he shows enough, like you, I want a big play guy in there on third downs. I'd love to have David Wilson be that guy, but he has to show the coaches enough that he can protect Eli Manning. If he can't do that, he's not going to be on the field on third downs.
Bradshaw wasn't a great blocker coming out of college neither, was he?
Coming out of college, no, but he turned into a great pass protector in the NFL.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm thinking. Like, well, if they can do that with Bradshaw, then Wilson should be able to do it.
Well, remember, it's a matter of mentally being able to do it too, but it's also, Shakes, a matter of physically being able to do it and being willing, quite frankly, to put your 210-pound frame in front of a guy that's 275 coming at you at full speed, and you got to meet this guy and you got to stand him up. Bradshaw was a physical, strong, tough back. I love David Wilson as a player, but he's not that sort of back, or at least I haven't seen that out of him yet. So it's a mental thing, but it's also a physical thing.
Yeah, the toughness. Well, I hope we bring Bradshaw back because what he do for us, you it don't show up in the stats. That's all.
I appreciate it, Jakes.
Thanks, man. All right, I'll talk to y'all next week.
All right, man. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. You guys doing a great job on the phones today, by the way. And one other interesting nugget I got from the assistant coaches yesterday, I should mention. I was talking to Robert Nunn, and one guy we get a lot of questions about on this show is Adewale Ojomo, the Giants defensive end. And it's funny, I tweeted this yesterday. We were doing some one-on-one interviews that will air between minicamp and training camp. And I was interviewing Robert Nunn, and then we were like 5 minutes in. I'm like, I got to wrap this thing up, and I wrapped the interview. And I finished, and I walked away, and I'm like, crap. Because of the JPP news, I asked questions about the defensive ends. I went a full 5 minutes. I didn't ask one question about defensive tackles. Not one. There are just too many defensive linemen. I mean, geez. Anyway, but the guy that I took, Jomo is one guy he mentioned, and there are a couple things that he talked about that he has to do in order to earn more playing time. One, consistency. That's one. Number two, he needs to play the run a little bit better. And really the third one, this was the big one. He needs to be a better player on special teams. If he wants to be in the active roster on game day, he's got to play for Coach Quinn. He's got to play for Coach Izzo. And he's got to be productive and got to be useful on specials. So I thought that was very interesting what Coach Nunn told me about him yesterday. 201-939-4513. Gerson is in California. What's up, Gers?
Good morning.
How are you?
Good, good, good. So for the most catches, I'm going to go for Myers.
Okay.
Second, it's going to be Cruz. But I think Cruz is still going to have the most yards.
How about touchdowns?
But the reason why I picked touchdowns, you know what? I'm thinking a tight end is going to have more touchdowns. Just because last year you thought Cruz was getting double team. I see the same thing happening with Nick and Cruz. So then it's going to be wide open for the tight end. And I think Mary's a better tight end than Bennett. And I think he's more willing to go through the seam. And I have a good feeling he's going to be our leading touchdown receiver.
You know, touchdown's interesting. And maybe I should have made that the question. Because Cruz is good in the little spots. Nix is better on the fades. And Myers will find some spots. You know what? I think touchdowns will be close. I think that's a very interesting question.
Huh. And on also on Bradshaw.
Yeah.
I wish him the best. I wish he would come back to us, but if he goes to the Colts, oh well.
Now I hear you, Gerson. I would just like to bring in one other veteran running back here to try to give you a little bit of a sure thing, only because you don't know if Brown or Wilson can carry the load for a full season. They've never done it before.
Right. But since you mentioned that, who would you think will be a candidate for us?
I mean, Michael Turner's still out there. I don't think he has a whole lot left in the tank, to be totally honest with you. I would prefer to bring back Bradshaw. I know he's always hurt and everything, but I would consider bringing him back.
No, but I mean, if he signs, I mean, he's out of the question.
You know, if Bradshaw's off the market, there really aren't any other great running backs out there. I mean, Turner's one guy. I'll have to take a look at the list. I know a lot of guys have signed in a lot of spots already. I'll have to take a look at that. In fact, I'll do that now. But I would like to get somebody in here. And I guess Ryan Terrain can be that guy. I shouldn't just discount him. That's not fair. But I just worry about Wilson and Brown since neither guy has ever played an entire season before.
Gotcha. I have one last question.
Yeah, sure.
Regarding Wilson. You know how you were mentioning, I see the physicality portion of it because I saw him getting blown out by a few players last year, especially at the Falcons game. That was pretty bad.
Right.
But is he doing anything about it to strengthen? You know, because by doing that, they have to gain some more weight, correct? Wouldn't that slow him down?
Well, that's the thing. And you don't want to take away his explosiveness by having him put on too much weight. So it's a matter of using leverage properly. You know, you can cut block guys. You can go low. There are different ways to do it. But you're right. You don't want him to put on all this weight here and lose some of the explosive. That's a great point.
Well, thank you.
All right, Gerson. Appreciate the call, man. I'm going to look up these Frazier running backs here. Let's see. Oh, boy. I'm sure Bradshaw is going to be the top of all of these lists, and I'm sure that Michael Turner is probably going to be second. Here we go. All right. This is from March 17th. Let's see. Steven Jackson obviously been signed. Reggie Bush has been signed. Rashard Mendenhall went to the Cardinals. Nothing on Michael Turner. Has Felix Jones signed somewhere yet? I know he was rumored to go somewhere. I think the Bengals. This article's too old. I'm going to have to find a better one than this. That's right. Felix Jones went to the Eagles. Shoot. I knew that. It's a bad job, Adam. All right, here we go. Maybe this will be a better list. No, it's not updated either. But there are a couple guys out there, and I mentioned Turner. He's one. But beyond that, has Beanie Wells signed anywhere? He did, right? I don't remember where, but he signed somewhere. Yeah, guys, there's just not a lot of guys out there. He went to Jaguars, that's right. So, I mean, Turner, I guess. I don't know. I just don't. I think Bradshaw is a good fit. I know if he signs somewhere else that, you know, he's not going to come back here. But if he can pass a physical, I don't see why not. 201-939-4513. Don's up in New Hampshire. Don, long time no speak. How are you, pal?
Yeah, I'm very good, Mr. Schmelk. How are you?
I'm doing great, Don. How are you?
Good, thank you. Well, I just wanted to comment on the wide receivers, as usual. I was just, you know, I really would love to see Victor, you know, get signed somewhere. I understand that he's a restricted free agent, and I know all the, you know, I listen to you every day, so I know exactly what's going on there. But, you know, the guy has, in the last 2 years, for mediocre money, outperformed wide receivers such as Larry Fitzgerald. The point is, I guess is what I'm making, is we got two wide receivers. They're both disgruntled. I understand why Hakeem Nicks is probably disgruntled also. Is what happened to Michael Crabtree at the OTAs, ripped his Achilles. But he's under contract, so he's going to make his millions even if he's out or not.
Right.
And Hakeem Nicks isn't going to make his money if he comes in and happens to hurt himself or if he's already hurt. You know, but the Victor thing, I don't know how far apart the Giants and he, you know, are. But I wish they would just make a decision, sign the guy, and, you know, and then, I don't mean give him, you know, $11 million, but eight or eight and a half, whatever he wants, and go from there. And, you know, and Hakeem, you know, we have to see what we can do with him. If he doesn't, you know, if he can't play or whatever, maybe it's time to cut bait with the guy and, you know, hope that Victor could be our number one and Reuben could be our number two and Murphy and Jernigan could maybe step up. Who knows? But, I mean, it's just you hate to see people come in, not have contracts, and work under the sour grape sort of thought. You know what I mean? Well, I'm playing for him, but I'm playing under a tenure. I really don't want to be, you know, playing for a tenure, but I am. And who knows how they're going to perform. But that's just my thought on the wide receiver situation.
No, Don.
You?
Yeah, Don, I think it's a fair thought. But to me, the Giants have no reason to move on their offer for Victor Cruz. And you've heard me give the reasons before. Leverage. Cruz can't sign anywhere else. He can sign the one-year tender if he wants, but I think that would be a huge mistake because, like you mentioned, if he gets hurt, all of a sudden no money for Victor Cruz. So I think that would be a mistake. If the reports are correct, the two sides aren't that far apart. The Giants are at in and around, if the reports are correct, once again, $8 million per year over 4 years with a good $15 million guaranteed. To me, for a restricted free agent that has no options, that's a pretty darn fair offer. And I'm not sure why Victor hasn't signed it yet. I'm sure he's waiting as long as possible to hope the Giants improve their offer so he gets a little bit more money. I honestly don't think that's going to happen. So I think we'll have Victor sign a couple days before training camp. He'll show up, and then everyone forget this will ever happen. Number two on Hakeem Nicks. It's optional. And if he's afraid of getting re-injured, I get it. He doesn't have to be here. It's an optional workout, and that's fine. I got no beef with it. Just make a phone call and tell the team why. Just don't show up. But if he goes to another season this year and only plays 10 or 11 games, misses 5 or 6, and plays in, of those 10 or 11 he plays in, is only healthy in 5 or 6 of them, and is, you know, not himself in the other 4 or 5, I think you do have to think about moving on from him, especially if Reuben Randle has a big year, and then you go with Randle in that X position, you have Cruz on the other side, moving into the slot, and, you know, maybe you draft another wide receiver or something like that in this upcoming year's draft, and then you figure it out, because look, Hakeem Nicks is not going to become less injury-prone as he gets older. That's generally not how this works. If he's injury-prone now, it's only going to get worse. So I'd be very careful with him moving forward and making sure you don't give a lot of money to a guy who ends up being damaged goods in a couple years.
No, I agree wholeheartedly. I mean, I just, you know, and I understand that they'll probably both be there. I'm trying to be the optimist like you guys are, like Paul DeTino is and everybody else that calls. You know, but it's just unnerving. It's like it's one of our playmakers, and it's almost like that we have an obsession with, you know, holding out as long as we can and really, you know, deterring our playmakers from wanting to play for the New York Giants because of the simple fact that, you know, just the things that are going on as far as money's concerned. I mean, you know, we haven't had a real big playmaker for a number of years, I don't think. I mean, you got Eli Manning, who's great. He's a great quarterback. We're hoping David Wilson could step up and be our big playmaker. But, you know, on the defensive side of the ball, who knows? Now the JPP's hurt. Tuck, he's up there a little bit in age. But hopefully one of these other dudes can step up and, you know, give the Giants the shot in the arm that they need. And maybe could bring us to the playoffs. That'd be great.
Appreciate the call, Donnie.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Ben. 201-939-4513. Don, thanks for the call. It was good to hear from you. But, yeah, I mean, I think Don makes good points. Good to hear from Donnie. 201-939-4513. Two more calls before we wrap up the show. Let's stay in New England and say hello to Charlie up in Maine. Charlie, what's going on?
Hey, man, I'm good. Things are a little gloomy here, but, hey, I got a take on Nix's situation.
Sure.
I think there was something really telling when he said something about, I'm not quoting it, but it was something like, I learned a lot about the business of football last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what it was is, I think he feels a little disrespected from the organization. I think he put his career on the line, played when he was hurt, probably took injections to even be able to play because of his injuries. And instead of the organization saying, hey, man, this guy's, you know, he's going beyond the call here for us. He's trying to play. Man, he's, you know, blew all the way through. I think it kind of backfired on him, and there's, you know, what he's been hearing is, like, this guy can't stay on the field, his numbers went down, you know, I don't know if we can give him another contract till he proves himself, like he's already proved himself for the last 3 years. And I think he just got a little disrespected from that, and I did think his eyes got opened up saying, this is just a business. And so what I'm going to do, you know, the things that I don't have to do, like things that are voluntary, I'm not doing. And things that aren't, I'll be there and I'll do whatever I can do, you know, to make this team better. But I think he got a little disrespected, and I think that's his attitude. I think, you know, people have been down on him. I think, you know, instead of, you know, it like him going all out when he was injured to try to play, he probably should have just not played. He probably should have just went on IR for the whole year. Probably would have been better for him in one way, and I think that's what's going on with him.
Well, I will disagree with the fact that he was in any way disrespected last year by either the team or by fans. Look, he was tough. He played through an injury, wasn't himself, but he gave the team everything he had, and I think most people recognize that. I will agree with you, however, on probably what's happening with his decision, whether it's salary or contract related or not. I just don't see how it could be, because why would the Giants give him an extension now coming off an injury-plagued year when he has 1 year guaranteed left on his contract? But I agree. He's probably looking at the situation that says, look, how does it possibly benefit me to show up for these voluntary workouts, you know, potentially risk injury, though quite frankly, I'm not sure he really would have been doing that much on the field anyway, considering he's still coming back from his knee injury. He probably would have just been rehabbing it on the side. So that pokes a couple holes in the argument, I suppose. But that probably is what his thinking is. How does it help me to show up, do this stuff, risk re-injury? I'll show up to the stuff I have to so I don't get fined. I want to put together my best year possible so I get my big contract this upcoming offseason, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, but I do think he felt a little disrespected from the organization. That instead of saying, look, this guy has done everything he could, let's get this guy a contract. You know, I mean, he played injured. He's, you know, he's tough. He's, you know, and I think it just worked just the opposite. It was like, okay, now we're going to sit back, wait and see, you know, see if this guy can prove himself this year. Can he stay on the field? All that kind of stuff.
Well, yeah, no, I hear what you're saying. But let's say, for example, Nix decides to sit out. Let's say after that week 3 injury, he decides, look, I'm going to go have a minor surgery. I think they said the healing time would have been 6 to 8 weeks, give or take. Let's say he comes back in week 12 and he plays decent the rest of the year. I still think the Giants would take the same exact contract tack with them that they are now. They'll take a wait-and-see approach. Well, look, Hakeem Nicks missed 8 to 10 games last year. We got to make sure this guy can stay healthy long-term. Let's let him play out the final year of his contract. Unfortunately, is that fair when you look at, you know, fairness from a very general standpoint? Maybe not. But in the NFL, where you have a salary cap, and you can really hamstring your team if you give guys big money that aren't going to be there for you. And the Giants have to make decisions on Victor Cruz. They're going to have to make a decision on Jason Pierre-Paul. They're going to have to make a decision on Linval Joseph. They're going to have to make a decision on Eli Manning in a couple years when his contract is up. So the Giants don't have all the money in the world. It's a limited amount of cash, and they're going to have to use it only on the guys they think give them the best chance to win. So it's the best thing for the organization and therefore, quite frankly, the fans, because they want the team to win, to wait as long as you can on a guy like Nix and then decide how much money you want to offer.
Yeah, I know. I understand. But I understand that, but that's when I said what he said.
Yep.
I learned a lot about the business this last year. And I think, you know, a lot of times it's like the Giant family, you'll always be a Giant, the best organization in you know, the NFL, blah, blah, blah. But it comes down to just like everybody else.
Well,
like
everybody else, this is a business for the Giants, too. And they have to do what's best for their football team to give them the best chance to win. In that way, are they the same as every other NFL team? Sure. No doubt about it. But I think they do handle certain things in certain ways a little bit better than certain teams in terms of how they treat their players. But in that way, in the fact that it's a business, certainly they're in the same exact salary cap boat as everybody else in the NFL. I appreciate the call, Charlie. Thanks a lot, man.
Hey, no problem.
You have a good one. 201-939-4513. Final call on the show all the way out to the West Coast and say what's up to Bob in Seattle. Bob, what's going on?
Hey, John. Hey, with the wide receivers, I heard Adrian Robinson's having a pretty good OTA this year.
He could
be a little bit of a dark horse.
Yeah, he has flashed a little bit. Talking to Mike Pope yesterday, he said he's taken a step forward this year, but you know, his athleticism, I believe the quote that Mike Pope gave me, his athleticism hasn't transferred to the field in production as quickly as the team would have liked. So I think he's still figuring things out a little bit, but let me put it this way. I think he is a much, 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 and that's three muches, better chance of contributing this year on the field than he did last year, especially if you have to use Bear Pascoe as your fullback and you want to run a two tight end sets out there and some jumbo packages. I think that's when you can see Adrian Robinson hit the field a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. No, that does sound good. And I'm surprised nobody brought up Barden this morning.
You're right. I didn't get one.
I had to do it for you.
I appreciate it. I didn't get one Ramsey's Barden most receptions for the Giants. Now, he might get the most receptions in preseason. He might get the most receptions in training camp. But regular season, probably not.
I know.
Thanks, Bobby.
All right, John.
Appreciate
Thanks.
It.
Take care.
All right, got my one Ramsey's Barden joke in. I'm happy. Send me off. Happy trail schmelk on the weekend. I appreciate it. My man Marwan Ali sent me a good link to some free agent lists. Now, this is 3 days old, so I don't think any of these guys have gone. Bradshaw, Turner, Cedric Benson, still available. I didn't really think he had a whole lot left when he was on Green Bay, though, to be honest with you. And he got suspended, right? Yeah. So I wouldn't touch him. They have Beanie Wells still on this list as being available. Has he signed the last couple of days, Beanie Wells? I don't know. Who knows? And then it gets slim pickings. Kevin Smith, who can't stay healthy. Khalil Bell, retread. DJ Ware is available, if you want to bring him back. Joseph Addai, who's got nothing left. Mualde Moore. I've always liked Mualde Moore. I think he's always been underrated. So that's a possibility there, too. Peyton Hillis. No one signed Peyton Hillis, huh? Beanie Wells is not signed. He visited. He visited Jacksonville. I'm surprised Peyton Hillis isn't signed yet. That wouldn't be a bad pick. Bring a guy in like that. Then again, he always gets hurt, though, too. Can you really depend on Peyton Hillis? That's a good question. Anyway. Brandon Lloyd's still out there as a free agent. Lauren Robinson, who signed that big free agent contract last year with the Jaguars after his big season in Dallas. He had concussion issues last year, I believe, right? Lauren Robinson with him. He missed a few games with concussion, so I guess he hasn't passed anybody's physical yet. And probably not going to go back to Dallas considering they drafted Terrence Williams out of Baylor in his 117 catches he had at Baylor last year or something ridiculous like that. Austin Colley's still out there. He has the concussion issues. Deion Branch, a veteran, he's going to call it quits, I'm sure. I remember when Steve Breston was considered an up-and-coming big wide receiver down in Arizona. That really hasn't worked out too well. Early Doucette, guy with some speed. Roscoe Parrish, who's a good kick and punt returner. Asante Shianko's still a free agent as a tight end, huh? That's interesting. Dallas Clark, that's why season just retired. He had a decent year with Tampa last year, but he's been on a decline. Kellen Winslow with those knee injuries. And Eric Winston, he's the guy that I'm really surprised is still out there, to be honest with you, right tackle. He's a good starting caliber right tackle, and the fact he's on the team to me is somewhat surprising. Anyway, great job on the phones today, folks. Good show. I want to go through a couple Twitter things before we say goodbye. Let's see. Mike Farr makes a good point. The only decision the Giants need to make on Eli is how many more years on the next contract. No question. The question mark is not whether or not you bring him back, obviously. Brandon Diggs, Knicks will have a big year, but will miss his usual 2 to 3 games. Myers will post unicorn-like numbers. I think he'll catch more balls than Martellus Bennett did last year. I think Eli will trust him a little bit more. And that's one thing Mike Pope did say, is that Eli will always be able to trust that Brandon Myers is going to be where he's supposed to be when he's supposed to be there, which is huge. Mike Farmer, the Giants don't bring in another running back. Terrain isn't healthy. The running game will struggle. We'll see. Jeff Rothman on our question about who catches enough balls, who catches the most balls for the Giants, Randall or Myers, if Jerry Reese keeps dragging his feet and doesn't give Cruz and or Knicks new deals. Look, guys, Knicks is not getting a new deal. It's not happening. Nor should the Giants give him a new deal. All right? If you want to blame the Giants for not throwing more money at Cruz to get him in here, that's at least an argument that I can listen to. I disagree with it, but I can listen to it. It makes sense. He's a restricted free agent. You think he's valuable. You don't want him to leave next year. You want to give him 9 a year instead of 7.5 or whatever. Fine, I'll buy that. That's reasonable. Victor Cruz is $9 million a year. That's reasonable based on the rest of the market. That's not out of line. But Hakeem Nicks, for a guy that hasn't stayed healthy, did not play well last year playing hurt, has one guaranteed year of money on his contract, and he's making decent money. What is it, 3.5, I think? Almost 4. It's not bad money. You can't give him a contract now. What happens if he comes out and misses 8 games again with a knee injury or an ankle injury? Then you're stuck with him with all this guaranteed money on the books. You can't do it. Knicks is not getting a new contract, nor should he get a new contract. This is a prove-it year for Hakeem Nicks. Because let me tell you something. If Nicks comes out this year, plays 10 games, catches 55 balls for 800 yards, and struggles, you think another team on the open market is giving him $9, $10 million a year? No. Not happening. So why should the Giants, before they even have a chance to watch him this year? Just saying. Darryl Smith, by the way, I didn't sign a one-year minimum salary deal with the Ravens. Good signing by the Ravens. I thought Darryl Smith could have been a good fit with the Giants, but he goes to Baltimore. Marwan Ali pointing that one out. Let's see, what else do we got here? Scott Anthony, no faith that Nixon Cruz will be here, so he thinks Lewis Murphy will lead the Giants in receptions. He goes out of the box, I'll buy that. Mike D just writes back, what are the two guys who haven't shown up to camp yet? I think that's probably a safe one. He's got the Game of Thrones House of Stark sigil as his avatar. I like that. Game of Thrones season finale, by the way, Sunday night. Can't miss. And again, I'm not going to spoil it for anybody. I read the book, so I know exactly what's going to happen. You will be hard-pressed. Maybe this way. It remains excellent. But you will be hard-pressed to find a more dramatic and shocking scene than the one you saw last week. Doesn't not going to get much better than that, folks. You'll have stuff that's almost as good, probably not on the scale of the mass murdering. You'll have some surprise deaths. No one is safe. I can confirm that for you. No one is safe. Anybody can die at any time. And you'll have some good surprises, but on the scale of main character murder, probably not going to get back to where you were last week, which is okay. Going to run out of characters. George R. R. Martin is an evil, evil genius. Let's see. Cruz, Knicks, nothing else that surprising. Let's see if we got anything else here. All right, that's all we got, folks. Good job on the phones. Good job on Twitter. We appreciate it. Give us a call Monday, 10 o'clock, Giants.com. We get ready for minicamp, and see what happens. Hopefully, Hakeem Nicks will be in the house. Maybe we'll get some Victor Cruz news. Doubtful, but we'll see. Have a good weekend. See you on Monday morning on Giants.com.